We're going to continue our message on the Sermon on the Mount and the characters we see that describe or we see lived out those characteristics in the Sermon on the Mount. Next Sunday, we'll be starting a new series about the songs of the holidays, which I hope you'll enjoy. And because next week is Advent, and we're going to celebrate Christ in his first coming, in anticipation for his someday, his second coming. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 23, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" There's a lot in this passage we read here today. The warning about prophets, false prophets who look good at a glance, but aren't really what they seem. They'll take life and strength from those who are real. The warning is to be careful and make sure to have the right motives. There's also a warning. That just because you do good things and even miraculous things doesn't mean you're right with God. Because Jesus is a teaching that what, like we've been teaching and learning about, what's on the inside is what counts, not just what's on the outside. You can do all the right things and still be in sin. Sin can still be inside of you. But looking at false prophets, we see right some things right here. They look good, may even sound good. In fact, according to the scripture, they may actually be able to do miraculous things. They look like sheep. They actually bring death. I actually learned this last week that in places in the Middle East where they have sheep, wolves will actually go out, they will kill the sheep, and then they will sort of burrow under the sheep to keep an eye out for what's going on around it. So actually, the wolf is in sheep's clothing. I always thought that was just a phrase. But no, they actually kind of hide underneath the dead sheep to sort of look like a sheep. But the thing is, they're not doing, well, sheepy things. They're actually bringing death. They may look productive. They may look like grapes, like figs, like in the story. But actually, they're stealing resources. Ultimately, though, you'll know them how they live. Because eventually, whatever's on the inside will come out. The warning is, don't let them lead you astray, and of course, don't become one of them. There's a narrow way, which we talked about last week, and there's nothing more than some would like to do than lead you down another path. The interior warnings we see there is to watch out not to be deceived. And again, like I said, you can do good, and you can even do the miraculous. But that doesn't mean you know God. You can say all the right things, do all the right things, but if you don't have God in your heart, if you haven't made that commitment inside, it doesn't matter. You know, I could take my wedding ring, Yeah, you're smiling, so I'm going to pick on you. You knew it was coming, didn't you? I could put it on RJ, And I'd say, now you're married, buddy. And he could look around and say, oh yeah, I'm married. I got a ring. I'm married. How many of you think he'd be married? No. His mom is saying, no, 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 no. He may be saying no, 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 too. I don't. So you can look the part, you can wear all the right jewelry, you can do all the right things, but that doesn't make it real. It doesn't make it real. There are a lot of people who have the right words, but they haven't really made a commitment to God. They don't know God in a real way. And this scripture warns about that. But today I want to look at specifically how we respond to prophets, particularly looking at three different men, Jehoshaphat, Ahab, and Micaiah, and their interaction with prophecy. It says, now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. Some years later, he went down to see Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and the people with him and urged him to attack Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? Interesting note here. It said Jehoshaphat had great wealth. He had honor, but he allied himself with Ahab. Ahab was not a good guy. He's right up on that level of Stalin and Hitler. And, you know, really stellar characters of history that we all despise. He's not a good guy. Yet Jehoshaphat, who has been basically a very good king, trying to follow God, has allied himself with him. And note here, why would the scripture mention he had great wealth, he had honor, and yet now he's allied himself with Ahab, probably for protection, hoping to trust that with them allied together, there wouldn't be as many people attacking him. But as he meets them together, Ahab says, let's attack Ramoth Gilead. When you study the scriptures, it shows they've had some good times. Things have been going well for them. But Ramoth Gilead is is a point in Israel that controlled some of the travel in that area. And it especially controlled some of the travel to a place called Tyre, which was sort of the main center of commerce to go in around the world, of the known world at the time. And they figured, hey, Ahab was like, if we take this, now all of a sudden we'll control the trade routes. And we can make even more money. Well, it's already said they had great wealth, great honor. But that's the danger sometimes. You get and you want even more. Jehoshaphat replied, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will join in war. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. Well, they were in an allied situation, so they were supposed to work together. But he says, let's ask God. And let me tell you something. If you're following God, that ought to be the first thing you do. What is the right thing we should do? It said, so the king of Israel brought together prophets, 400 men, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I not? Go, they answered, for God will give it to the king's hand. Now, I did some things up here to notice, you'd all notice this. How many of you notice there's a difference in the pronouns? Shall we go, or shall I stay back? Who is Ahab caring about here? You know, it's not about everybody else. It's like, shall we all go or should I stay back? This, to me, you know, if you've got somebody who's on your side and they'll say, should we go up into a fight or should I stay back here? Hold it. What do you mean, we or I? Aren't we in this together? But Ahab was concerned for Ahab. Jehoshaphat asked, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord of whom we can inquire? See, he brought all the prophets of Baal, all these other prophets in, false prophets. But Jehoshaphat knew there was somebody missing, a voice missing, and that was the voice from the Lord. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one prophet through whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say such a thing, Jehoshaphat replied. It's an interesting note there. Ahab says, there's one guy, but I don't like him, because he always prophesies bad. Jehoshaphat realized we shouldn't say things bad about God's prophets. They're really speaking from God. We shouldn't say anything bad. But Ahab doesn't like this guy. Well, obviously, because if he's speaking for God and Ahab's not doing the things God wants him to do, of course there's going to be a problem. So the king of Israel called his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones on the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before him. Note here, this is something the writers put in. He said they were at the threshing floor. Interesting note, the threshing floor, if you don't know about how they used to separate the wheat from the chaff, this is where they do it at. They would beat it out, they'd throw the wheat and the chaff up in the air, the wind would drive the chaff away, and what would be left would be the wheat. And this was a place where they would do that. So basically, this was a place to separate the good from the bad. And once again, God is separating the good from the bad. It says, now Zedekiah, the son of Kenaiah, made iron horns and declared, this is what the Lord says. With these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. All the prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious. And they said, for the Lord will give it to the king's hand. The messenger had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, look, the other prophets, without exception, are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. But Micaiah says, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what God says. And see, that's the thing. If you're going to speak for God, and when I stand here, that's what I'm trying to do. I better make sure I'm speaking only what God says. Because what he says is important. It's not about me. It's not about what I like. Because I'll be honest, you've heard me say before, there's some things in Scripture I don't necessarily like. I'd like it to be a little different. I like the idea of, you know, sometimes getting revenge. But God says no. I'd like occasionally be able to hold a grudge. And God says no. I would like everybody to say, go forth and everything's going to be great. I like those words. Sometimes God says, no. It's not going to work out. Don't do that. But God, it's a good idea. I think so, at least. How many of you all had those great ideas and sometimes you found out later weren't so great? Yeah. When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I not? There's their pronoun issues again. If we're supposed to be allies, I'm thinking it should be we go or we stay. Not we go and or me stay back. Interesting. Micaiah, he says, attack, be victorious, he answered. for they will be given into your hand. Something we can't really see in our English version. But when he said, what he's saying here is when he says be attack and be victorious, he's saying attack and you will gain ground. In other words, you're going to get something from this. He says, so for they will be given into, the term here would be more like if we translate it into your all's hands. In other words, it's not just about the king, not just about Ahab. He says it's going to be given to everyone's hands. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Well, see, Ahab was heard the difference. He said, what's this about for everyone? I want to know about me. You're not telling me everything. And he wasn't. Micaiah answered, I saw all of Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. Well, the king is kind of their master, right? So now they're going to go into battle and they're not going to have a master. If you're the king, where does that place you? In trouble. Because if they don't have no master and you're the master, that means you're no longer there. But interesting. God says, the ones who are with you, they will go home in peace. God's bringing peace to the people of Israel by removing their leader. See, they were going to go be victorious. And there was going to be victory for all of them. Just not for Ahab. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Well, here, side note here. If you're only doing bad, yeah, guess what? It's like, I'm always going 99 miles an hour down the road here, and the cops always get upset at me. You know, I kind of understand that. Because there's a sign out here that says 55. I'm not talking about the one right out here, people. If you're going 90 down here, I hope they throw you in the slammer for a long time. Because this is 30. But if you're out on the highway and you're going 90 down the highway, yes, the cops are going to get upset every time they see you. Why? Because you're breaking the law every time. If you're doing bad, every time you get a word from God, it's going to be bad. It's going to be saying, don't go down that path. Micaiah continued, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne with all the multitude of heaven standing on his right and his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, to attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this, another that. Finally, a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked, I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of the prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has been putting deceiving spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. A lot of questions about this, but let me just say, God was setting Ahab up. He was a bad guy, and he was looking for an excuse to do bad. So God's like, make sure all the false prophets say the wrong things. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaiah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you, he asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. Zedekiah was like, what are you doing? saying that we are being deceived. What do you mean? Where did the Spirit of the Lord? He's doubting him. He's saying God's Spirit didn't speak to you. Micaiah says, you're going to find out when you're hiding in your room later. Because here's the thing. Under the Old Testament guidelines, if you were a false prophet, if you prophesied something that was false, you said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow there will be rain, and no rain came. By Old Testament law, and we don't actually have record they did this to many of the, any of the false prophets, they could take you out and stone you. So if you declared something in the name of the Lord, you better make sure that it came to pass. Zedekiah was going to be scared because all of a sudden he's going to find out that his prophecy was wrong and the king that he was serving was going to be dead. The king of Israel ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, to the ruler of that city, and to Josiah, the king's son. Say, this is what the king says, put the fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. See, Ahab's plan was, you know what? When I get back, that'll prove that Micaiah is a false prophet and I can finally kill him and I can be justified in it. It says, I look at it this way. God at first sent all the false prophets, built up Ahab's ego, and then God came and told him the truth, which ticked him off and made him even more determined. How many of you know people like that? They get real sold on an idea, and then all of a sudden you tell them the truth, and they get kind of mad. I did that one time. I had a boss one time ask me, what do you think about this new project? We just spent $250,000 on. I told him the problems with it. I told him the problems we were going to have with it. He told me I needed to grow up, that I needed to get with the program, and I made one other mistake. I was right. He just never quite got over that. And they ended up having to do things exactly how I said they probably needed to. Just did not like it at all. That was Ahab. He didn't like hearing the truth. And therefore, he was actually more determined to go forward with his plan. That's a warning for us. We get an idea, we get something we think is right, and we try to find people around us to bolster our ideas, and then we look into the scriptures or we pray and God says something different and all of a sudden we don't like it. So we get angry and we're even more determined to do something that's wrong. We should first and foremost seek God's advice. Seek what he would have us do. See what the scriptures say rather than what we want. And things will go well for us. Micaiah, though, declared, if ever you return safely, the Lord has not spoken to me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. See, his words were not as much for Ahab. Ahab had his mind made up. But he was trying to let everyone else there know. God is speaking. God is speaking. And Micaiah is basically saying here, yeah, you're going to detain me. And if you come back, you have every right to kill me. I don't mean that. I don't know about you, but that's brave words. You better be knowing you're hearing from God if you're saying something like that. As I said, the danger, Ahab wanted the prophets to reassure his course. And let me tell you something, if you want to believe a lie, you can find someone to do it. There'll be people out there who will tell you, you're right. Just Google what you want to know and you will hear it. Proof that I am right about, well, let's go on this lines. The safety of going 90 miles an hour down the highway. You'll probably find someone who will give you reasons to do that. And I'll tell you something, if you pull out your phone, you show it to the cops and says, you know what, this guy, this professor at this college says this is a good idea. How many of you think that will persuade him for not giving you a ticket? I thought y'all were a smart group. If you want to find a lot of people to believe to lead you wrong, there'll be people out there to do it. But we need to be listening to God. We also be careful. Need to listen carefully. Jehoshaphat did. Because the false prophets were saying, you go forth, Ahab. You will be successful, Ahab. The pronouns here they were using were personal toward Ahab. So all of a sudden it's like, hold it. They're all saying that Ahab's going to be doing okay. What about me? You know, like again, if you're in a situation where you're working with somebody together and somebody looks at your partner and says, everything's going to go great for you. Everything's going to be wonderful for you. Everything's going to be great for you. All of a sudden, you're thinking, hold it, what about me? What about my interest in this? You might think something's wrong here. Jehoshaphat, listen carefully. He's like, something's off here. Also notice here, the original messages that Micaiah and the false prophets gave sounded almost the same. But in truth, they were very, very different. God is love. Is a truth many of us preach. But if you've been around, some people take that truth and preach it far different. When they say God is love, God understands us, they may mean something far different than what the Word of God says. So we need to listen very carefully and see if what is being preached, what is being taught, lines up with what God truly says, because false prophets can sound very, very good, but their message is very different than what this teaches. So you need to listen carefully. We need today to make sure that our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus and His Word. And so we're going to sing today, Rock of Ages, because that's what our faith needs to be set on, the Rock of Ages. And as our singers come forward today, let me pray for you. Dear Father, I ask now that you give each one of us wisdom in our lives, in our hearts, that, Lord, we may hear only from you and not be led astray by false teachings and false prophets. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And now, Father, I ask that you go and bless each one as they leave this place today. May your presence go with them, and they may speak the truth that you give them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you.